Buzz. Good evening, everyone. Welcome all of you that are visiting with us tonight. It is a joy that we can come together in spirit and in truth and study the Word of the Lord and worship our God, which is in heaven. It's a good day already. We appreciate that. And the fact that you're here tonight, that we can lift up our voices in these good songs, and we can just enjoy a period of worship unto God. I want to talk with you tonight about Jonah the runaway prophet. Many of you remember that story. You've read it. Four chapters, so we'll have 4 points. First of all, in the first chapter, here is a prophet of God. A prophet of God, Jonah. And the Bible tells us God has something for Jonah to do, but he didn't want to do it, so he runs away. Once he's in the belly of the big fish, chapter 2, we find that he turns his attention to God, and he prays unto the Lord. And you know, Jonah needs some help. Can you ever imagine yourself being in the big fish and not only being in the big fish, but being there for 3 days and 3 nights? And we'll talk about that. Finally, the fish God spoke to, and it vomited him up. Now Jonah has a second chance. Not too many people have a second chance. Now then, Jonah is ready to run with God. When man runs with God, and he does God's will, he'll always succeed. He'll please the Lord. Jonah did so. He was hesitant. He didn't want to. He didn't like those sinners in Nineveh. But he did it. In chapter 4, after God spares Nineveh, Jonah is just plain angry. Why would a man, a prophet of God, be so angry? Angry because God had spared these Ninevites. And we'll notice in chapter 4 then, now he's running ahead of God. You see, my friends, when God has work for us to do, it matters not who we may be. It's time for us to do that work. The book of Jonah is about a prophet who rejected God's call. And God told him, you go down to Nineveh and you cry out against that city of Nineveh. And the Bible says, now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the son of Amos, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. They're a wicked nation. They're a big city. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarsus from the presence of the Lord. Can you imagine trying to run away from the Lord? And went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarsus. So he paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go with them unto Tarsus from the presence of the Lord. Jonah is trying to run away from the Lord. The Bible says, but the Lord sent a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. And then the mariners were afraid and cried every man to his God and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea, delighting it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, what meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us that we perish not. And they said everyone to his fellow, come, let us cast lots, that we may know for what, whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. Now they've ascertained, they've determined, they knew the one is to blame, as far as the ship now is almost being engulfed. Then said they unto him, tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us. What is thine occupation, and whence comest thou? What is thy country, and of what people art thou? And he said unto them, what an admission now of having to tell the truth. And look who he says that he is. He says, I'm a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which has made the sea and the dry land. Then the men were exceedingly afraid. And they said unto him, why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. Then said they unto him, what shall we do unto thee, that the sea may become unto us? And the sea wrought, and was tempestuous, And he said to them, listen, take me up and cast me forth into the sea. That's right. So shall the sea be common to you, for I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. Now let me tell you why, friend, if you're on a ship and you're out in the ocean and there's a storm and, boy, you want to see the calmness, but you don't want to throw away a man. Throw overboard. And the man's sitting there telling you, I'm the reason why this thing is happening. Get rid of me. Throw me overboard. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to the land, but they could not, for the sea roared and was tempestuous against them. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, we beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood. For thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. And so they took up Jonah. They picked him up. And look what the Bible says. And cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased its raging. That's what Jonah told them. Jonah says, I'm the reason. I'm the reason for this great storm. And the only way you're going to find calmness is for you to pick me up and throw me into the sea. They didn't want to at first. They're doing everything they can to save this man. And they even beg God. Ask God to help them. And then they threw him out. And the sea became calm. And the Bible says, then the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord and made vows. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. I've always enjoyed that story. It's really an account. God did something for this man, even though he had made the choice not to do what God told him to do. Isn't that something? You ever had to tell your children and have to whip them? They didn't do what you told them to do. Have men and women who are Christians of God, children of God, have God told us to do some things, we don't want to do it. And what do we try to do? We try to run away from it. Try to get away from doing what we know that God wants us to do. I was trying to find an illustration about someone trying to run away from his parents. And I found a small one. And it was about a little girl about 10 years old. And this 10-year-old girl, she's fed up with her parents. She's fed up with life. She prepares her clothing. She gets a little suitcase. And there was a picture of her as she was getting ready now to run away from home. Did you ever try to run away from home? You three sisters sitting up there. Y'all, no, they ever tried to run. Why? We liked home, didn't we? We enjoyed being at home. And this little girl had decided that she was sick of her mean parents and she was going to run away. She didn't last long, as you know. Pretty soon, back she comes. They already knew that's what's going to happen. Friends, I'm going to tell you what. When God tells us to do something, don't be like Jonah. Don't try to run away from what God's telling us that we ought to do. And you know, people just use all kinds of excuses. What? Sometimes you have people that are saying, you know what? My business is so important and I'm just overworked. I can't do anything for the Lord. By a voice always changing the subject when God comes up or by procrastination. Someday I'll accept the Lord when the time is right. By denial, I just don't believe there is a God. By rationalization, if there is a loving God, I just believe everyone will go to heaven anyway. They run away from the truth. By anger, I don't care. By good deeds, too busy doing good, they don't think that they need God anyway. Running away. What did Jonah do? Jonah was doing, didn't want it. And ma'am, my question when I was preparing this lesson, I asked this question. Why did he not want to go to Nineveh and cry out against that city? Why would anybody out, a prophet of the Lord, whom he served, why would the man say, I do it? And the Bible says that instead of his going down to Nineveh, he jumped on the ship and he went toward Tarsus. Very opposite direction which he'd be going if he went down to Nineveh. Why? I think I know. We'll find out in a little while. Why did he not want to go? Jonah, he's running from the presence of the Lord. The Bible says, but Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarsus from the presence of the Lord, went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarsus. So he paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go with them unto Tarsus from the presence of the Lord. Remember what I talked about last Sunday? There's an all-seeing eye watching you. You can't run from God. Jonah's trying to do what? He's trying to run from God. God prepared the great storm, and then he prepared the great fish to bring about the salvation of this man. And I like the expression in verse 17, now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. What accommodations. Who wants to be in the belly of the fish? And who wants to be there for 3 days? And 3 nights. You know, there are a lot of people in the Bible told to do something, they don't do it. Saul, King Saul, was told to go down and utterly destroy the Amalekite nation. I mean, God was so specific. He said, you kill them all. I want them all wiped out. In 1 Samuel 15, you remember Saul failed to do what God told him to do. And you remember whenever Saul failed to do what God told him to do, and when Samuel came to Saul, you remember how he said, I've done the commandment of the Lord. No, you did what you wanted to do. Because you see, the question is asked, if that be true, what meaneth then the lowing of the oxen, the bleating of the sheep that I hear? There'd be none. And but yet Saul claimed, I've done what God wanted me to do. In verse 22 and 23 of 1 Samuel chapter 15, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord. To obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. You can't run away from God. God tells us to go and preach. Preach the gospel to every creature. He wants every creature upon this earth to hear the gospel. It's expensive. It needs to be done. Who's got that charge? The charge is, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen. Wouldn't it wonderful that when our brethren are suffering out in Texas recently, and some are still suffering, I'm sure, but what a joy it was to be able to assist in them and our good elders. What did they do? They sent $30,000, $5,000 from all of you, from all of us as we gave. Why? Because we want to do the Lord's will. When? Right then. Why? Because that's what God tells us to do. What a wonderful blessing it is to serve the Lord. Now, he's swallowed up in the fish. Chapter 2. He's where? He's in the belly of the big fish. In chapter 2, verse 1, then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly. Boy, I tell you what, I don't know about you. Hope I never have to be in a circumstance like that. But wherever you are, if you need God, what do you ought to do? You ought to make the choice to turn to Him, to pray to Him. And what's Jonah doing? Now he needs help. Where is he? He's in the belly of the fish. And he's wanting to help, the help from God. But he just ran away from God. He's running right to Him now. Yes, the Bible says, and said, I cried by reason of my affliction unto the Lord, and He heard me out of the belly of hell, cried I, and Thou heardest my voice. For Thou hast cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas. And notice how he describes where he is. And he says, and the floods compassed me about, all thy billows and thy waves passed over me. And then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. I believe that I will. The waters compassed me about, even to the soul. The depth closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped about my head. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption. And look what he says. O Lord, my God. Can you ever imagine being in a place where you're desperately in need of God hearing your prayer? This man is somewhere he knows that he's away, so far away, and yet he remembers to pray. And he said, when my soul fainted within me, I did something. I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee and into thine holy temple. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy, but I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that what I owe. Salvation is of the Lord. Guess what God does? I love to tell you that God hears your prayers. God answers in 2017. When you're in need, talk to Him. I will call upon the Lord, as we sung in the song. When will we do it? When we're in need. And when we're not in need, we'll just call upon Him day in and night. He says, I will pay that I have vowed. I promise I will do what God tells me to do. If only God will hear me and get me out of this place. And the Bible states, He makes this statement, salvation is of the Lord. Do you know what he learned? You can be pretty independent. You can be young, strong. You yourself can have all kinds of things in this old life, but guess what? Sometimes it's taken away. What do you do? You do hopefully like Jonah. You turn to God and you say, I need you, Lord, and I need you right now. I can't live without you. And guess what God did? In Jonah 2 verse 10, and the Lord spoke unto the fish. Look at that. He had prepared this big fish for this man who didn't do what he wanted him to do. He spared him. And then he spoke to the fish. And it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. Number 3 chapter. Jonah now is ready. He's ready to listen. Jonah's ready to do what God wants him to do. He's going to do it. Why? Salvation is of the Lord. I've been in this place. And he had described it. What a horrible condition it must have been. And look what God says. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, not everybody gets a second chance. But I want to tell you something tonight, friend. Our God is a God of mercy and love. He doesn't want a single one to be perishing, but that all should come to repentance, 2 Peter 3, verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning His promises, some men count slackness, but He's long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. Go tell them, cry out unto them, get them to listen. And so what would Jonah do this time? The Bible says, so Jonah arose. He went into Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. Can't you just imagine this man who had been told first to go there, now he's there. Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried and he said, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Friend, 40 days is not very long, is it? I think I was talking to Matt this morning about Christmas. What is it? Just 2.5 months away. How fast things pass by us. And the Bible says, here is what this man who is a prophet of the Lord, who was told first to go to Nineveh, cry out against that city, now he's telling them, you got 40 days. 40 days. Guess what? And Nineveh shall be overthrown. And that's exactly what God wanted Jonah to preach. Have you ever heard of a preacher having 120,000 responses? Can you imagine? I thought Peter and the other apostles had a lot on the day of Pentecost. Here's a man that had gone out there crying against this city, and guess what they do? Boy, here it is. So the people of Nineveh believe God. Isn't that beautiful? Here's a preacher out there telling these people, you got 40 days, and God's going to destroy you. And so the people of Nineveh believed God. And what did they do? They proclaimed a fast. They put on sackcloth, from the greatest of them even to the least of them. They stripped off their big, even the king. For the word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he rose from his throne. He laid his robe from him, covered him with sackcloth, sat in ashes. Wouldn't that be something? And he caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, and this, here's something that's so interesting to me. Let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock taste anything. What? What do they do? And they're responding. Responding to what? What Jonah is saying. Do they believe it? They believe God. And now they're told, don't you taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water. And then notice what he says. But let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God. Let them turn everyone from his evil way and from the violence that is in their hands. Who can tell if God will turn and repent, turn away from his fierce anger, that we perish not? And God saw their works. Yes, he saw their works, that they turned from their evil way. And what did God do? God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not. Mercy, graciousness of God. That must have been great news for Jonah. That wasn't the news that Jonah wanted. He's the preacher preaching something he didn't want to preach to a people that now listen to him and they believe what he's saying. But him, he's angry. What was the reaction? Chapter 4 now. Running ahead. Jonah's mad. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly. And he was really very angry. Yeah, he's praying again this time. He was in the belly of the fish. He prayed. God heard him. He was delivered. He'd gone through the streets there 3 days journey, crying out, God's going to destroy Nineveh in 40 days. And oh, what a tremendous fast. A repentance was seen. And now Jonah's displeased. He's praying again, folks. In Jonah 4, verses 2 and 3, and he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? That's why I didn't want to go. That's why I went, instead of to Nineveh, I went to Tarsus. That's what I know about you, that you're a God of mercy, kindness, and goodness, compassion. And he said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore, I fled before unto Tarsus, for I knew that thou art a gracious God, merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repentance thee of the evil. Therefore now, O Lord, just take, I beseech thee, my life from me. For it's better for me to die than to live. He's really a discouraged preacher. God rebukes Jonah. In verses 4 through 8, then said the Lord, is it really right for you to be angry when I've been mercy on these people? You didn't like them. You wanted them destroyed. Look what they've done. So Jonah went out of the city and sat on the east side of the city. And there made him a booth and sat under it in the shadow till he might see what would become of the city. And the Lord prepared a gourd and made it to come up over Jonah, that it might be a shadow over his head to deliver him from his grief. So Jonah was exceedingly glad of the gourd. It was hot. He's sweating. And God does something. What does he do? Prepares a great gourd. Gives him what? Relief. So Jonah was exceedingly happy or glad of the gourd. But God prepared a worm when the morning rose the next day, and it smote the gourd that it withered. What? God prepared something for Jonah. He's been now sheltered somewhat, and now God sends a worm. And when the morning rose the next day, it smote the gourd that it withered, and he didn't have that shelter. And it came to pass when the sun did rise that God prepared a vehement east wind. And the sun beat upon the head of Jonah, that he fainted and wished himself to die and said, it's better for me to die than to live. God said to Jonah, dost thou well to be angry for the gourd? And he said, I do well to be angry even to death. He's upset. Then said the Lord, thou hast had pity on the gourd, for the which thou hast not labored, neither madest it grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. And should not I spare Nineveh? Jonah, won't you listen? Shouldn't I spare Nineveh, that great city wherein there are more than 60,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand, and also much cattle? They can't differentiate between that which is good and right and that which is bad. But they can do one thing, and they did it. They can repent, and they did. Jonah tried to run away from God, chapter 1. Jonah turned back to God, chapter 2, from the belly of the fish. Jonah, chapter 3, goes forth, does exactly as God tells him, and they repent. He's running with God. Jonah is running ahead of God. Chapter 4, yes, God saw these people, and even though this was one of the most successful speakers, 120,000, here we find Jonah is dismayed. The lesson tonight prepared for us to remember one thing. When God tells you to do something, husbands, love your wives, that's what you ought to do. When wives are told they're to be obedient to their wives, to their husbands, that's exactly what you ought to do. When parents are told to train up your children in the way of the Lord, that's what you ought to do. When children are told that children are to obey their parents in the Lord, for this is right, that's what we ought to do. When God says to preachers, you go forth and you preach my word, don't you add to it, don't take away from it, that's what God wants. When God says to elders, elders, you are the leaders, you are the ones that I have chosen to take care of my people, that's what they are to do. When deacons are chosen, they're to serve the Lord. That's exactly what God wants them to do. And my friend, when a sinner that is lost, who needs to be saved, there's only one thing you can tell them. There's a Lord, there's a Master, Jesus Christ. And they can be saved by looking to Him and obeying Him. Hear His word, believe it, repent, confess, and be baptized for the remission of your sins. Walk humbly before your God. If you start and you stumble, get up. Look up to heaven above and ask God to help you to be restored to Him. Only by doing the will of the Lord could Jonah ever be pleased. God be pleased with him. And the only way that we're going to be pleasing to our God is for us to look up and serve Him. I found a poem I want to read to you. I think it will help us to realize how wonderful it is to be forgiven of our sins and so many of us to have a second chance in life. The past is the past for a reason. That is where it's supposed to stay. But some cannot let it go. In their heads, it eats away until all their focus becomes the person they used to be. The mistakes they made in their life, oh, if only they could see that you cannot change what happened. No matter how hard you try, no matter how much you think about it, no matter how much you cry, what happens in your lifetime happens for reasons unknown. So you have to let the cards unfold. Let your story be shown. Don't get wrapped up in the negative. Be happy with what you have been given. Live for today, not tomorrow. Get up, get out, and start living. Because the past is the past for a reason. It's been, and now it's gone. So stop trying to think of ways to fix it. It's done. It's unchangeable. Obey God and move on. Aren't you thankful that Jonah was given another chance? Aren't you glad that Jonah went and preached to those people? Aren't you thankful we can read in the story of in the book of Jonah that these so many people turned and obeyed God? Tonight, the great invitation of Jesus is yours. What will you do with it? If you're in the assembly, you're not a Christian. Hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized. And if you're a child of God and you're not ready to meet Him, you're not ready to go home, you're not prepared, do something about it. Yes, God's giving you a second chance. If we can help you in any way, would you come and obey Him? Why do you wait? Come now and obey Him while together we stand.